You were just saying that Tom, our engineer, who's making this episode, is your favorite Swiftie.
I said one of my favorite Swifties.
Oh, right, because you can't discriminate, because you got Natalie.
Well,
you got
me and Natalie and Tom are in a group chat, text.
Half a Swiftie. What's like the bisexual equivalent for a Swiftie?
You're looking at one, a Swiftie. Ashley's one of my favorite Swifties. Yeah, there's all a right. lot going on.
Hi, Julian Pensavalli.
Hello, Patrick Hines.
Fam, before we jump into it, hey, can I ask you nicely to join us over on the Patreon?
Yeah.
Over like 450 full ad-free bonus episodes to download and binge the second you sign up. We did everything from Love Has Won, the cult doc. We're doing the Curious Case of Natalia Grace.
Yeah, we're doing both seasons. We're doing The Lost Women of Highway 20. We do all the wild crimes. We've done Bad Vegan and The 12th Victim.
Yeah, we like back in the beginning, we did all like the classics like The Staircase and Serial Season 1.
The Jinx.
Oh my God. We did both seasons of Making a Murderer.
Yeah, we did Tiger King.
Don't Lorena.
F with cats.
Oh, God, it's all there. We're also doing these amazing events.
Oh, McMillions. Sorry, McMillions.
Yes, your favorite. We're doing these amazing live events a couple times a month. We're doing like virtual happy hours. We're doing drag bingo once a month virtually. We're doing cocktail classes. It is such a fun place. It's patreon.com/truecrimeobsessed. Yeah. Come and hang out with us.
And we're making it super easy. All those like the drag bingos and all that, $5 and above.
Yeah.
We're making it simple for you.
And also, you can do an annual membership. We haven't even mentioned this yet.
Annuals.
Yeah,
yes.
If you do an annual membership, you save 10%, I think. So you get a little discount if you sign up for the year all at once.
Yeah, that's just something we turned on. We wanted to turn you onto it if you're into it. If you're not, great.
I'm
if you are,
over
cool.
here. I'm very turned
you're
on.
You're very turned on. I'm when are you not, honestly?
Girl, what are we talking about today?
This is New York Homicide, Episode 1. It's the murder of Joey Comunale.
A beloved son goes missing after a night out with friends.
I kept calling him and calling him, calling. No answer. Not typical. You know, not to hear from him.
We were having a great time. A ton of friends, smiling, laughing. That is what I remember from that night. Joey gives me the phone. That's how we end up getting separated.
And ends in an after party with strangers.
They were drinking hard. They said Joey was very out of it.
One of whom has a secret identity and a dark past.
And it was a surprise to find out this one person, he wasn't who he was posing to be. He was somebody completely different.
Right up top, we're told that Manhattan's nightlife is where it's at. We're told
it's a magnet for people all over.
People taking planes, trains, and automobiles to come and party. And I gotta tell you what. You know what? New York City nightlife really is the
best.
It's
great.
It's gotta be the best in the world. Maybe Tokyo is better.
Oh, God.
You know, I've never
sure
been,
is.
But I'm sure it's pretty great.
Yeah, Tokyo probably, I've seen that Tokyo has like really, I know they have more than karaoke. Don't come for me. I understand. But they do have a lot of like really cool karaoke spaces where you could see the entire city and the skyline. Like they're kind of at the top.
You can
of
sing like karaoke in taxi cabs in Japan, apparently.
Is that right?
Yeah. Can you imagine those poor taxi cab drivers?
Oh, my God.
Did you ever know that you're my
they
hero?
They have to have a soundproof thing.
Really?
It's all digital.
What if Wind Beneath My Wings was my karaoke go-to?
Then it would explain why we've never done karaoke.
Yeah. You're everything I would like to be.
Look, as long as you know the words at least.
I can fly higher than an eagle. Because you are the wind beneath my wings.
See, now we're kind of sing-talking. I like that. That's good. You got to know your audience and you have to know yourself. You have to know your voice. You have to know what you're capable of.
Oh, goodness gracious.
So, yeah.
Every weekend, young men and women from Long Island, New Jersey, and Connecticut stream in by train, bus, and cars to have fun. But amidst the throbbing music and bright lights, there is a darkness where danger lurks.
There's a darkness where danger lurks.
Yeah, welcome to everywhere.
I know.
It's not just New York. Sunday, November 13th, 2016, we are in Stamford, Connecticut. And Pat Comunale, who is with us, who is just an unbelievable like force of courage and strength. And
he's the victim's dad.
Yeah.
He's wonderful. I want to just pause for 1 second and say something that I mean lovingly.
Yeah.
Everybody that we meet here has Italian last names. All of the family friends are Italian. Their names are utterly unpronounceable.
Are they?
I was trying to sound it out.
But they say the names.
I know, but like the friends, like I just was trying to, I'm like, I can't do it.
Steven Nasso? So N-A-S-O.
All right, that one's easy.
Okay.
All right, you got me on that one.
They say the names.
All right, what's Max's
rewind.
Last name?
We'll get to it.
All right, we'll get there when we get there. But
Columbo Max. Max is the best.
Max is the best.
So Pat is expecting his son Joey for dinner. Joey always comes home for Sunday dinner.
He had a townhouse about 2 or 3 miles from us. He always came home for his mother's cooking. So, yeah, he was a big eater, so he didn't have to worry about him going too far. Typical Italian family where we're just close. We were just very close.
He always comes home for his mother's cooking, and I wrote, oh, my God, I can taste it.
Yeah.
I can, like, taste.
You can smell the sauce. It's amazing.
You know, she says calamari.
Yeah, or calamari.
Mozzarella.
She's all over it. And, like, his dad even says, like, he loved his mom's cooking. So, like, you don't have to worry about Joey going too far. Like, he's going to stay close to home for that Sunday dinner. Oh, so
the
good.
Dad goes, he's a big eater. Of course, I was like, Joey and me both, Pops. And
when you grow up with access to that kind of, like, home cooking Sunday, it's perfect. You eat it, like, 2 in the afternoon. It's fantastic.
My mother was a poor lesbian mother of 4.
Yeah.
Can you guess how good the cooking was at my house? It wasn't good.
It was creative, I bet.
It was. My mother would make a macaroni and cheese. The only thing that she made from scratch was a macaroni and cheese that she would take, like, Wonder Bread and, like, slice it up and put it over the top
Delicious.
Of the macaroni and cheese. My mother used to also marinate chicken breast in, not marinate, she would saute chicken breast in, like, Caesar dressing.
Of course. That's a delicacy. I'm not kidding. That's great. Newman's Own?
Yeah.
Of course.
Wait, am I just learning that my mom was a great cook?
Kind of, yeah. Okay. I'm here to tell you, my mouth is watering. Let me
say. Bam, you're vindicated.
Anything with a mac and cheese base, I'm in.
I know.
I'm in.
Like, but white bread on top. Let's be real naughty, y'all.
Yeah, but then what, she put in the oven?
Yep.
Delicious.
Okay, great.
A little crunch to it?
God,
come on. What's the problem?
What a lucky kid I was.
Oh, 1,000%. Delicious.
Travel. Girl, ZipRecruiter is back. Look, I gotta tell you, ZipRecruiter is making a good point here.
What?
It's daylight savings time, or we're almost there, right?
Okay,
and the whole idea of daylight savings time is that it's like to give you more time in the day. But if you are a person who is looking to hire somebody, it does not feel like you have more time in the day.
No, there's never enough hours in the day.
I've been through this process a lot, and I can tell you that that is true. Look, I'm a person who's been through this a lot. I gotta tell you, there is one great way to find new candidates for your jobs is through ZipRecruiter. And you can do it right now for free, fam, at ZipRecruiter.com/TCO.
Yeah, so once you post your job on ZipRecruiter, they send it to over 100 job sites, and that way you can reach more of the right people. So it kind of doesn't matter how many hours you have in the day, because ZipRecruiter uses every second of it.
I mean, there was a time when we would have to upload to each site. You have to make an account. Then you have to put the job posting. Then you have to get approved for the job. No, ZipRecruiter handles all of that for you, fam.
It's a one-stop shop.
They've also got that smart technology that quickly scans thousands of resumes to identify people whose skills and experience match your job. That's another thing. There was a time when Natalie would send me, like, a Dropbox folder of 8,000 resumes for me to go through. Not anymore, fam.
No.
ZipRecruiter's finding them for you and sending them to you.
That technology is very smart.
I know.
Smart and beautiful, honestly.
So, fam, spring forward with a new hiring partner, ZipRecruiter, and find top talent sonar.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
We certainly did. Just go to this exclusive web address to try ZipRecruiter for free. Here it is. ZipRecruiter.com/TCO.
Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/TCO.
ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. I gotta tell you, I use ZipRecruiter because I heard this ad on another podcast forever ago. And it
look
worked.
At us now.
So if you're hearing this, this is your sign to try ZipRecruiter to go find your hire. It's going to work for you.
It. Pass it on, everybody.
Yes.
Again, Pat is Joey's dad, and he's like just talking about what a super close family they were. They saw each other a lot. And again, Sunday dinner was big because not only was the food incredible, but
tell them why, GP.
This is when Pat and Joey would do their fantasy football together. They were big into sports, and they were always doing their fantasy sports. They were going to all the sports games. It was like their thing together. They were best buds.
I love that for them.
I do too.
You know?
Yeah.
I would have been a real disappointment to Pat.
I saw someone in the elevator today. This is going to come out well after the Super Bowl awards.
Yeah.
But I was in the elevator
today. Taylor Swift concert or whatever?
Taylor Swift's boyfriend's big night.
Right.
And everyone, I mean, they're like all-star athletes. It's ridiculous.
Don't we have like actual people tracking Taylor from Tokyo?
Yeah.
To make sure
With
she can get there on time?
Difference or something. Yeah. So, but regardless, in the elevator today, coming up to the studio, some guy had like a piece of paper with a lot of numbers on it. And he was like, hey, wish me luck. And I was like, oh, is that your Super Bowl pool? And he was like, yeah. I said, who do you have? And he goes, the 49ers. And I was like, oh, I really have no stake in it. And he was like, yeah, I just couldn't get into Kansas City. And I was like, cool. Well, good luck. It was a really pleasant conversation, but like it's football fever. Everyone's doing their pools. You know, you're guessing the score and the spread and all that. It's great.
What are we talking about?
Pass the guacamole is all I'm saying. Another great Sunday meal is going to a Super Bowl party.
Oh, really?
It's great food. Okay. You go to the Super Bowl party for the snacks, right?
You look at me like I've ever been to
and
a Super Bowl party.
And maybe fingers crossing Taylor Swift or totally. the freaking halftime show. Anyway,
mealtime comes and goes. Joey doesn't show. His dad is kind of freaking out.
Yeah, his parents are super worried. They're calling and calling and calling.
Finally, someone picks up. But it isn't Joey. It's one of his best friends, Steven Nesso.
And he said he had Joey's phone. He had gone out in the city. And he hadn't heard from him.
Steven and Joey and some friends had gone into the city, being New York City, and Steven hasn't heard from him since.
Right.
But did somehow end up with Joey's phone.
Right. And we will get into why.
Yeah.
So Pat, the dad, runs over to Joey's condo, which again is just like 2 or 3 minutes away.
Yeah.
Joey's not there.
No. He goes right to Steven's house to get the phone. He just knows something is fucking wrong.
Right, because Joey was super reliable, and not just because Sunday dinner was great. Like, yeah. All jokes aside, like, Joey, when he said he was going to be somewhere, he was there.
Yes.
And Joey, according to Pat, the dad, and like what we're seeing here, Joey's friends were incredible.
Yeah.
They were really amazing.
They're here. A lot of the friends are here and they seem like great guys. And we learn a little bit about Joey's life here. Just that he worked for his dad doing some kind of sales job. I could not understand what they do.
Yeah. They're doing great. Whatever they're doing.
Whatever they're doing it great. But mostly everyone's just saying that Joey was an awesome guy. He had a million friends. No one ever had a bad word to say about this guy. Every picture we see of him, he's smiling. He's the life of the party.
Super social. Everyone's like having a great time, right? So here's what happened according to Steven, the friend.
Yeah. Well, who we believe.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I didn't mean to say it so ominously.
The suspicion
I'm
in
so
your
sorry.
Voice.
No. Wow. We love Steven. We love Pat. We love Max. Well, yeah. One Max we love. So anyway.
Yeah.
So here's what happened according to Steven, the friend, who we believe.
Yeah.
Steven and Joey drive from Stamford, Connecticut to New York City.
This was last night.
Yeah. They go to a club in the Meatpacking District called the Gilded Lily. The Meatpacking District in 2016, or well before it too, was like super like fancy pants. And
I have this note that the Meatpacking District sounds like it's the gay neighborhood. It's not. It should be, but it isn't.
No.
It used to be where they did all like the meat packing. Like they literally slaughtered the animals.
Right.
And they're huge spaces. And so like in the early 2000s. Sex and the City,
yeah.
It started to come up as a place where they were opening nightclubs and restaurants. It's actually a gorgeous, gorgeous area of town now. It's still very trendy and popular, but in 2016 was the height of like if like straight people are going out in New York, that's where they're going.
To like go to the clubs in New York.
Yeah.
You were trying to get into a club and meat packing. Mm-hmm. So they go to the Gilded Lily. They meet up with like 20 people.
I gotta just say, I was a concierge in New York right around this time, and I was sending people to clubs all the time. I've never heard of the Gilded Lily.
Yeah, I hadn't either.
I looked it up and I was like, huh, that's so, I didn't recognize it at all. So
is it still around?
No.
Okay.
I don't know if it came and went, but it was a super hot spot at the time in 2016, but I did not know about it.
Right. And again, they're meeting up with 20 people. Like, this is a big, big crew of friends.
Yes.
So it's 4 a.m., the club closes, and everyone sort of, like, goes out into the night.
So the cop makes a really interesting point here.
At that time of night in the Meatpacking District, it's madness. There are literally hundreds, if not thousands, of people milling about. And that usually creates a bit of a stir.
The Meatpacking District is a relatively small area. I'm going to say it's like maybe 4 to 6 square blocks, but nothing is a square there. Everything is like
the streets like are zigzaggy. Yeah, it's like Gansevoort kind of cutting through everything.
And so imagine 50 nightclubs all closing at the same time.
Right.
And the spill of people out onto the street, that's what's happening that night with Joey and his friends.
Trying to get a cab, trying to
thousands
see where the after party
people.
Is, trying to get the car. Like everyone's sort of milling around, trying to find the next thing to do.
Yeah. If you ever come to New York, by the way, go to the Meatpacking District. Go during the day. It's beautiful. The High Line Park is there.
The High Line's beautiful.
The High Line is one of the most gorgeous attractions in the city.
Yeah.
Like really go, it's cobblestone streets.
Yeah, I was going to say, careful when you walk. I used to work on 15th and 10th.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it like, there are a lot of clubs and restaurants, but there's a lot of cool shopping over and galleries and stuff. It's a very, very cool area.
Yeah. So everyone's like milling around, including Joey, and Joey spots this group of women and they spot him right back. And they're kind of like eyeing each other. And
Joey was a hottie. Like we can just say like Joey was for sure a hottie.
And this is kind of, you know, everyone's sort of like, is the night over? Is it not? Uh-huh. I don't know.
It seems like not in this moment.
Right. So Steven's girlfriend and a friend go to get the car.
Yeah.
And so the girlfriend takes Steven's phone because she doesn't have hers. She might've had like a teeny tiny bag or she figures.
This is important.
Yeah. She figures like I'm with my boyfriend. With all my friends, whatever. She doesn't have a phone, so she says, Steven, I'm going to sort of go a couple blocks. Give me your phone so I have somebody's phone. Smart move.
She seems like the designated driver.
Yeah. And I mean that, like, that is a smart... If you're separating from the group, make sure you have a phone.
Yes.
So she didn't bring hers. So she has Steven's phone. So then she calls Joey's phone and says, I am having trouble finding the car we all came in.
Also very common. Like, if you did not park in a garage and you're not from here, especially in that neighborhood, you're going to lose your car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the middle of the night and there's like chaos everywhere.
All the blocks look
the same. Yeah. You know. So Joey, who just got the phone call, hands his own phone to Steven.
Yes.
And Steven's like, all right, I'll be right back. Thanks for the phone. So Steven takes Joey's phone so he can call his girlfriend
while
so that
he's trying to find
the
her.
The two of them can be in communication.
So now, like, Joey has no phone and his friends have left him to go look for the car.
And that's how Steven, his friend, ends up with Joey's phone.
And what happens is,
by the time I actually did get to them, I get a phone call from Joey from his friend's phone and said that they're going to an after party and they'll just pick up the phone tomorrow.
Joey calls his own phone in Steven's hand from another phone to say, hey, I'm going to an after party. Hang on to my phone. I'll come and get it from you tomorrow.
Yeah, have a good night. Like,
this does not seem safe.
Right.
Like, I do not like this.
Don't worry about me. And so Steven is just like, look, we were with a ton of people that we all knew.
Yeah.
So Joey, I guess, was like, no, look, I found an after party spot. Don't worry about it. I'll call you tomorrow. We'll reconnect.
But if you think about it, Joey is now giving up his ride home and his
and
way
his
of
phone.
Communicating with his friends.
Right.
Like, what's the plan, Joey? How are you getting home?
And so I'm assuming that Steven assumed was, he probably said, he's probably with one of our 19 other friends that we came with.
Yeah.
Everyone has a phone, like, he'll be fine.
Yeah.
And Joey probably reassured him, and like, that's how we're here.
And
right?
No one ever thinks things are going to happen, like, bad things
no
are going to
happen to
men,
that.
You know?
No one ever thinks that.
Yeah.
So Steven's like, cool, have a great night, talk to you tomorrow. Everyone goes home and goes to bed. The next day, Steven is woken up by Joey's phone ringing off the hook, and it's Joey's dad, right? So, but they're also calling Max, and this is one of Joey's friends. Max didn't go to the city the night before.
No, Max is awesome.
Max is Columbo.
Max
is the best. So people are calling Max to see if somehow Joey got home and ended up with Max somehow, because for it seems like Max was the one person in this really tight group of friends who wasn't with them.
But Max is confused. He's like, is Joey with me? He went out with you knuckleheads last
right,
night.
Like,
what are you talking
going
about?
On? So, but Max starts the group chat immediately.
Yes.
Like, I have to tell you, I've been in a group chat like this.
Oh, yeah?
It is not fun. Where she was totally fine and safe.
Okay, your friend, who your group chat
is about. But I've been in a group chat, and it's like a bunch of, some numbers I know, some numbers I don't, and it's like, hey, have you seen or heard from blank?
Oh, my God.
It's a nightmare. Everything is fine.
Okay.
But to be in a group chat like that is very alarming and unsettling.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah,
but,
for sure.
But it also lights a fire under everybody.
Well, so Max is in this chat. He starts asking a bunch of questions. He's like, and then he says, that's when I got on Instagram and was looking at pictures from the night before when they'd all been out.
I came across this picture and I like knew one of the guys and he was with these three girls in the picture. And I just like had a hunch, like, I know the type of girls that Joey likes. And I just had a hunch. So I took a screenshot of it. And I sent it to the group chat, and I was like, are these one of the girls? And somebody was like, yeah, that's them.
The girls in this picture, do they look familiar?
Do they look like the girls who were flirting with Joey outside the club?
And everyone's like, yes, those are definitely them.
Max hasn't even brushed his teeth yet.
I know.
He's still in bed being like, what the? He is on it. He is leading the group chat.
I know.
He's leading the Instagram.
Somebody get him a garage where he can start a company.
Like, Max.
Yeah.
Amazing. So Max texts the guy in the picture, right? And he's like, look, this is the situation. I need the names and numbers of the women that you're in the picture with.
Yep.
Including the one that was flirting with my friend. Like, Max is on top of it.
So he gets the girl's number.
Yeah.
And he calls them and he's like, hey, he's texting with them. He's like, are you the ones, were you with Joey last night? And they're like, yeah, we absolutely were. She tells him, we took a cab with Joey and two other guys from the club that night that they had just met that night as well.
Yeah.
Those guys are Larry DeLeon and Max Gemma.
Right. And like, they all went to this after party on the east side in Midtown. So it's this woman, her friends, Joey, and two guys who everybody just met, Larry and Bad Max. Right.
And then the girl says, like, we stayed at this party for a while, a couple hours. Then Joey and this other guy, Larry, walked her to the curb where she got in an Uber and left.
Right. And the two guys went back inside.
Yes.
She said that from the very beginning. So Max is like, cool. Thank you so much for your time. Can I get this Larry character's phone number?
Can we just stop for a second and talk about the dots that Max has connected?
I love this initiative so much.
Max recognized a guy in a picture, then text that guy to get the girls' numbers because he knew that these were the kind of girls that Joey would like. So Joey's probably with these girls.
Right.
From the girls, he gets the number of this guy, Max, who was also at the party, who was like last seen with Max after getting this girl in the cab. Max is amazing.
And so Max, I'm not taking, Max deserves all his flowers, but like, does he have a sister? Is his mom awesome?
I know,
is his girlfriend amazing? Where'd you learn all our tricks? I love it. Spread the word. We need more people
friend,
doing
maybe?
This. Or somebody.
Yeah.
But Max deserves all the flowers.
Yes.
So Max calls Larry. He's like, hey, my name's Max, you know, Lieutenant Columbo. What can I, you know, I need to talk to you.
What, and another thing.
Oh, just one more thing. So Larry's like,
he's like, honestly, he's like, I have no clue. I'm pretty sure he went in the Uber with the girls. He's telling me he's in the Uber. I was like, somebody's lying to me.
Now, wait a second. Max, Larry.
Alarm bells are going off in Max's head.
Larry doesn't know who he's dealing with. Right. This is Max. He grew up watching Columbo with his grandmother,
yep,
probably.
Yep,
okay?
Yep.
Please do not, like,
do
you
not
can't
fuck with
you
Max.
Can't lie
yep.
to Max.
I know.
Please. So, or someone's lying. Travel
down the road and back again. Girl, Talkspace is back. I was just saying to somebody today that therapy is the best thing I've done for myself in 2024.
Guess what? You were talking to me about it.
I know.
Because we
some
were...
some gorgeous, beautiful creature.
Well, because we love therapy so much and it's
yes.
really important. And if you are in the market for... Even if you're not, that's
yep.
the thing.
Yeah, because here's the thing. There's no major crisis going on in my life right now, but therapy is that it's that ongoing thing. You don't need to wait for there to be some monumental, horrible thing, and then you're trying to desperately find a person. No, the therapist
yeah.
helps you keep balance in your life at all times.
Yeah, and you don't need to commute to appointments.
Exactly.
You know, it used to be your whole day.
Yes.
I say this every time, but it's true, because now it's super convenient. You can have virtual sessions. You can also send messages. You
yep.
can send voice notes. When something is on your mind and you just want to get it out
yes.
of your head so you can live your life, you put it down somewhere on this app to pick your poison,
yes.
pick any way you want to do it, and then it's there.
Talkspace is also affordable. This is the other barrier to entry for so many therapy situations. Mm-hmm. They're also in network with most major insurers.
And as a listener of this podcast, you'll get $80 off your first month with Talkspace when you go to Talkspace.com/TCO.
To match with a licensed therapist today, go to Talkspace.com/TCO to get $80 off your first month and show your support for the show.
That's Talkspace.com/TCO.
Do it, fam, but
yeah.
here's a virtual a hug for me. It's for free.
Oh, yeah. Talk it out.
Yeah.
But also, here's a hug. If you want it. If you don't want it, I will walk away.
You always think they don't want the hug. They do.
But it's okay if you don't.
But it's okay if you don't.
So, it's Monday, November 14th, 2016. The 17th precinct. The 1-7, probably.
Yeah, it's 24 hours since Joey was last seen.
And Detective Castro is here. All these cops are here with us telling the story.
Yes.
And Detective Castro is here. And he says, look, I'm meeting with Pat, Joey's dad. And I'm like, don't worry, we're going to find him. It just sounds like he doesn't have his phone. Maybe he fell asleep on the train. Maybe he passed
honestly,
out somewhere.
Like, that is the glimmer of hope here, is that he hasn't been in contact because he doesn't have his phone.
Right.
Also, I want to point out that Lieutenant Castro is very impressed with the amount of work that Max did
Loved
to
it.
Get us where we are.
Loved it.
I mean, imagine the amount of time that it saved the cops. Like, imagine
right.
if the call was my son was at a club last night and I haven't seen him and that's all I know.
And I don't know anything about anything.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
But the cops immediately are like, people are lying. And that's not good when people are lying. That means
yep.
that there's something more to this.
Yep.
So Joey's missing for 2 days. This is not good. Everyone is very, very worried.
Yes.
And this is where we learn a little bit more about Pat and Joey and their awesome relationship.
We used to go to a lot of sporting events. You know, that would be our time together. A lot of Ranger games, Giant games, Yankee games. That was pretty much our together time. For, you know, for sure. Yeah, he was my best friend. But if you spoke to his friends, they all said the same thing.
Sports was their thing. It was something they bonded over and that they could like...
Anybody who's listening to this who's like, that sounds like an awesome afternoon, I want to explain to you what it sounds like to me.
Yeah.
Now imagine that I'm taking you to the Met for a 4-hour opera. Imagine like that feeling that you're feeling about doing that with me is
yeah.
how I'm feeling about going to the sports with these people.
That's what my dad did with his dad.
Really? They went to the opera?
My grandfather loved the opera, so they would go see like La Boheme and all this.
Oh.
So like to my dad and my grandfather, that was like a rockin' afternoon.
Did I tell you that Steve took Daisy to the opera at the Met last week? A 4-hour opera. They were trying to
Which
go
Which one?
It's a Verdi opera. I can't remember what it's called.
Okay.
But they went because they were trying to go see something else and it was sold out. And Steve's like, I'll take her to the opera. I'm sure she's going to want to leave it in intermission. They got like super high balcony, like way in the back, and Daisy sat down in her chair and went, oh, this is great, we can see everything. And then as they got to intermission, 2.5 hours in, Steve was like, okay, we can go now. Daisy goes, I don't want to go, Daddy, I have to know what happens.
And so she stayed to the end.
They stayed for a 4-hour opera.
Oh my god.
My little sweet thing with ADHD sat through a 4.5-hour opera because she like
great.
Wanted to know if the lovers ended up together.
You gotta find out what opera it is.
I will I'll report back in the Facebook group.
Okay, please do.
Yeah,
I'm curious about this. So Joey was super magnetic.
For some reason, you were almost drawn in to him.
Joey was like a silent killer, like super funny, but like shy if you didn't know him at first, you know what I mean? But he was just like always down for whatever. Super easygoing, like mad fun.
all of his friends would say that they were his best friend. That's just the kind of guy he was.
Max says he was a silent killer, super funny but shy. Those are the best guys.
Yeah.
All my life before, like, I moved to New York, all of my best friends were straight men, mm-hmm. and they were always like that. They were like the super, like, funny, awesome guy, but that, like, came off as really shy.
Yeah.
Those are my people.
Like, he was shy if you didn't know him, but, like, really outgoing and hilarious if you knew him.
Yes.
Kind
yes.
of thing.
Yeah.
So the cops are doing their thing, and Joey's friends and family are also working the case. Like, Max isn't sleeping on
no,
this.
No, they're, like, looking, they're canvassing the hospitals, or, like, is he in prison? They would love for him to be in jail at this point.
They're, like, walking up and down 8th Avenue in Manhattan. Yeah. Literally.
Yeah.
Steven says they go back to Manhattan from Stamford, Connecticut, and just start walking the streets yeah. looking for him.
So the detectives call the girl that Max had spoken to, the one that, like, Joey put in the cab at the end of the party.
Yeah, there were, like, she was with a friend. So they talk to the one woman who Max recognized from, or, like, people recognized from the picture.
Yeah.
And she tells them exactly what she told Max. We left the club together. We went to this apartment for a few hours. Joey and Larry put me and a friend in an Uber. And that was it.
Yeah.
And according to this woman, the building was super, like, it was a luxury high rise.
Yeah. And she's able to give them the exact address and apartment number. And it does, like, they show us the building. It does look like a super fancy building from the outside. And we learn that the owner of the apartment where the after party was a guy named James Rackover.
Yeah.
And, like, they describe that, like, the girl describes that when they rolled into this after party, this guy James is on the couch, no shirt on, super nonchalant, like, isn't bothered by the fact that a whole bunch of strangers just walked into his house.
Right. And so the woman's like, yeah, we were drinking. Some drugs have entered the chat. Like,
yeah.
You know, the cops describe it as a couple of controlled substances. I'm assuming cocaine.
Yes.
That's what's happening in the reenactment anyway.
One of the detectives says,
they were drinking hard. Guys were pretty in tox. You know, the girls were interested in partying. They said Joey was very out of it. I'm thinking he could have, you know, left that apartment, got lost in the building somewhere, and just, you know, went sleeping it off.
One of the detectives thinks that maybe Joey was, like, drunk and high or whatever, and, like, was just super fucked up and maybe left the party, like, wandered the building and is sleeping it off somewhere.
And the woman is like, yeah, also, what's weird is that...
This is my favorite part. I think this is so funny.
The guys weren't really into us. Like, we sort of met... We went there to kind of keep the party going and, like, see what was going to come of the night, but they weren't really paying attention to us. And, like, Larry and James, not Joey, our victim, but, like, the shirtless owner and the dude who, whatever, some rando, were, like, fighting over who could do more push-ups.
They, like, literally take their shirts off and are having a bro off, and the girls are like, what about us?
The women are like, Did you see, we're gonna go.
Well, I brought a pair of boobs here.
We're like,
no,
are you kidding?
Looking at them.
And, like, Joey, like, ever the gentleman, which is all we've heard about him, also, like, doesn't let just Larry walk them out, because Larry, I'm hearing, is being a creep or just really aggressive. So Joey walks these three women, plus Larry the idiot, downstairs for the Uber. All of the women say Joey 100%. They spoke to all three women from the cab.
Yeah.
Joey 100% walked back into that building, and he was with that guy, Larry.
The girl who is talking to the cop describes, like, they were bored because the boys weren't paying attention to them, and then the sun was coming up.
I know.
And that brought me right back to my that is the worst moment when you're like, the night's been so awesome and we're having such a fun time, and now I'm a little too drunk.
8:30.
And it's, oh my God, the sun is coming up and I have to work later. Like, oh, but that's just a bad... That's when the girls are like, we gotta go.
It's time to get out of here. So the cops call Larry to ask about Joey.
And he says, I don't know where he is, because I really didn't know him. We were hanging out. We walked these girls downstairs to a taxi. He goes, I don't remember if he left with the girls or he went to go buy cigarettes. But then I went back inside and that was it, and I went to sleep.
Either way, I went back inside alone. The end. I simply must be going. Click.
These people are so stupid, because it's like, you know, this is a fancy building. You know, there's going to be surveillance video. What's the plan, Larry?
And, like, we know it's a lie.
Yeah.
We just know it's a lie.
Yes.
And so Max Gemma, bad Max, not Columbo Max.
Yeah. Max Gemma, who's, like, the other guy that went to the after party.
Right. His story is, okay, I met Joey outside the Gilded Lily. We all went to this after party. I was really, really drunk. I passed out on the couch. When I woke up, everyone had left.
Yeah.
So it was kind of this awkward, like, the birds are chirping. It's 9:30 in the morning. I woke up, kind of had to get my bearings, and just left because no one else was there. And that's my story. And oh my God, I have to go.
Yeah.
Click.
Yeah.
That's it.
And the other thing the girls do say, they say that Joey was very, very drunk.
Yeah. So,
so the cops are like, was this an accidental overdose? Could it be alcohol poisoning?
Or, like, did he get arrested because he was trying to find his way to the train again without a phone? So the cops are looking at, like, the NYPD system to see if he got arrested arrested. They're checking the morgue. They're checking the hospitals and nothing. So they go to this apartment to check out the security footage.
Yeah.
So this is insane. While the cops are in the lobby of this building, James Rackover, the owner of the apartment, comes into the lobby. And we know that because the staff of the apartment are like, yeah, that's him.
Yeah.
And as the cops are trying to go through this footage to see what happens,
he walks in, smiles at me, and tells me good luck getting the video, and keeps walking past the desk. And I'm like, what? I look at my partner, Detective Chen, and I'm like, that was weird.
Good luck getting the footage, and then just keeps walking.
And the cop is like, that was weird. Who talks to a cop like that?
And I'm like, oh, I cannot wait to get the son of a bitch.
Right.
Oh, I can't wait.
He, like, I mean, I'm assuming that he knows they're there for, I mean, obviously, he knows they're there for him.
To just, like, one, to draw attention to yourself,
right,
and one, to do it in that way, and to be so cocky, and to sort of, like, don't test, like, challenge accepted.
Yeah.
James, like, of course we're going
to
find
it. When we find
out
what actually happened, like, the audacity of this man to be a dick to the cops, like, right up front is wild.
So they're looking for Larry and Joey walking the women out to the car.
Yeah.
Because then they can see if Joey went inside or not.
We see the video footage. I'm like, James, why did you think it was going to be so difficult for the cops to get the footage? Like, we're literally looking at it right now.
It was also, like, 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
It is the sunniest, sunny part of the morning.
Totally.
So it's not like, oh, we can't make it out. I mean, it is bright. It's like a Tuesday morning rush hour. It is bright. It looks like it's noon. It's not, but that's what it looks like.
Yeah.
So the footage, it's so clear. And the fact that Joey and Larry both turn around to come back in, you could see their faces plain as day.
They walk back into the building. Now, everybody has said, I think Max Gemma said it, Larry said it.
Everyone but the women who were there.
Exactly.
All these shady guys, they all were like, I don't know. No, he definitely didn't come back in. He 100% did.
100% did.
And so this also proves, like, these guys are lying, but the women were telling the truth.
Yeah. When the cops see this major bold-faced lie, Lieutenant Maroney, who's like the boss, has a moment of intuition. He's like,
it's just a feeling I had. I just knew there was something wrong here, and I just looked at the garbage and I said, you know what? We gotta get that garbage in.
You'd be surprised how many times we've solved cases with clues found in trash bags.
You'd be surprised how many times we solve cases by looking through garbage. I gotta say, it happens more often than you think. You'd be surprised.
I'm like, I feel like it probably happens every single time. Like, this doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. Well, it happens today. They find this enormous plastic bag, like, for a comforter.
Yes.
And it has James Rackover's name on it because it's like the mailing label still.
Yeah.
Like, they just shipped it in the package that it came in. It's like a clear, really big bag. And inside that enormous bag, they find blood-soaked towels.
Like, the ghoulishness of that.
Right. And then it gets worse because they find Joey's ID and his credit card.
I mean, at that moment, Maroney, the boss, is like, we're shutting the whole fucking thing down. This is now a crime scene, and we're calling, like, the crime scene squad.
So they call in Detective Rashida Jupiter, who's amazing.
She is amazing. The name Rashida Jupiter, like, you can't make it up. It's perfect.
Someone write a series of novels about a badass detective crime scene unit person named Rashida Jupiter, please.
She's amazing. But she tells us something really important.
Yeah.
She says, if you discard garbage, it's garbage. We don't need a search warrant to retrieve that garbage. So if you, like, have murder stuff, like bloody towels, and you throw them away, wrapped in a thing that has your fucking name on it,
doesn't matter.
Like, your idiot Robert Durst, then, like, they don't need a search warrant for that. That's theirs. That's evidence. They have it right there.
If it's discarded, it's fair game.
Yes.
So they take everything to the lab. And Rashida Jupiter gets to work.
Meanwhile, Detective Castro says to us, I was thinking that someone got hurt. Maybe Joey is, like, injured somewhere. And I was like, are you really thinking that? Like, that sounds very optimistic at this point.
Now, also, I want to say, just back to James, like, what's with the attitude?
Right.
Being all cocky about the footage when they got the footage and then some?
Right.
Like, he walked past the garbage chute that had all this evidence in it while he's talking shit. Like, what is wrong with you?
And it's the kind of thing where you're like, if they didn't care that much about the video footage before you said that, they definitely do now.
And now they're going to get it.
Right.
They're going to get it even harder.
Girl, Dipsy is back. I think of all the podcast Dipsy advertises on, we must be Dipsy's biggest actual fans. We love Dipsy.
I think we might be.
I'm a big advocate for Dipsy. Tell them what it is.
Well, Dipsy is an app that's full of hundreds of short, sexy audio stories designed by women for women.
And look, I'm a soundophile, if that's a thing.
Ooh, yeah,
I like the way things sound. They bring scenarios to life with immersive soundscapes and realistic characters. You can discover stories about second chance romances, adventurous vacation flings, and hot and heavy hookups. It's so fun.
Yeah, they also have a growing library of fantasy series. They have vampires, they have Greek gods, and everyone's favorite fairy smut.
Yeah.
Because I have to tell you, my DMs are filled with people going, oh my God, you too with the fairy smut. It's all about A Court of Thorns and Roses. So we're very into this.
You know what? Fairy smut means something else in my community. New content
is released. Hey, there's probably a story on Dipsy about totally. It. It's that inclusive.
New content is released every week. So in between listening to your favorite stories again and again, you can always find something new to explore, like fairy smut.
Yeah.
I'm really pushing the fairy smut this week.
Me too. Get into it. Yeah, Dipsy can be your go-to place to spice up your me time or explore your fantasies. I always say it's a really safe place to be like, I think I might be interested in this. Let me listen to it in my headphones where no one else can be in on it.
Of course.
Then you can just like experiment and just, it's such a safe, safe, sexy place.
It's
safe and
just
sexy. Amazing.
For you. So fam, for listeners of the show, Dipsy is offering an extended 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/TCO.
That's 30 days of full access for free when you go to dipseastories.com/TCO.
That's dipsystories.com/TCO. Does the fairy smut get its own URL, or do you just have to search?
I think you should just search.
Okay.
It's fairy smut.
Speaking about the video footage, the cops make a point to say, we saw Joey go back in. They never see him leave.
Well, that's the thing,
that's
right?
Like the major, like, oh no.
So they bring in a bloodhound.
Yeah.
And they're trying to find Joey's scent, and this dog is on it.
Yeah.
We don't know their name.
Probably Rocky.
Probably Rocky, you right? He feels like a Rocky.
He's a Rocky.
So the dog goes into the building, makes a left, and then he makes a right.
Yeah.
And then he goes to the foot of the elevator and he stops. And I'm like, dogs, like scent dogs can tell you, like, go into the elevator, please.
I know.
So they go in the elevator and the dog alerts on the apartment. And I'm like, that's great. We already knew Joey was there.
Yes.
And they're like, yes, but this is the last live scent we had of Joey in the apartment. He doesn't leave.
Right.
The dog's like, and this is it. Like, that's the point.
Like, I just got chills when you said that. He doesn't leave.
He doesn't leave. And the and so that's like, it was just proof of, because at first I'm like, look, I love the dog, but like, we knew he was there.
I know.
No, no, no. He never left. So where is Joey? James Rackover is the number one person of interest. And I'm like, no shit, he better be, right?
Yeah.
So let's look into James a little bit.
We found out that he was driving on a suspended license.
Our squad heads back to Rackover's apartment, armed with a search warrant and an arrest warrant for James Rackover.
I headed upstairs, knocked on the door. I apprehended him. And then short time thereafter, a search warrant was conducted of the apartment.
You give me
an inch on this guy, I'm taking a mile. We got to get this out of the bitch. I'm done. I am done.
Jillian's law.
I'm done.
I know.
Suspended license, let's go.
And they do. They go back to his apartment with a search warrant and an arrest warrant for James Rackover.
And they bring Detective Rashida Jupiter.
Yes.
Because remember, she worked crime scene and she's the one who told us if you discard something, guess what? It's fair game.
And these people are so fucking dumb. Rashida says we got into his apartment and there was a very strong smell of bleach.
I know.
You would think that some bad person would have invented like a scentless bleach by this point.
I mean, I think what's happening is that we're dealing with people who are on a bender and not thinking straight and, you know, awake for X amount of days and hours. You know, I'm not defending, like, obviously I'm not defending that, but like, stay stupid.
You're like, hear me out.
Stay up for 48 hours and make bad decisions. I love it. It's my favorite thing.
Well, they also spray luminol in the bathroom. And Rashida is essentially like, that place lit up like a Christmas tree.
I know.
She's like, she literally, her quote is, you could see that a horrendous crime had happened in the bathroom. Someone was bleeding a lot in the tub, on the sink, on the toilet, and on the shower curtain.
Yeah. So we have like a lot of lies here and a lot of information that the cops are working with. So they of course, go back to question the other two guys at the party, Larry and Not Awesome Max.
Yes.
So they keep lying. And as these guys, again, no lawyers, like nothing.
They just
keep talking. And the cops are like, that's a lie. And they're like, oh, no. No, that's a lie. No, they just keep like digging their hole deeper. Amazing. Keep it up.
Yeah.
But there's more surveillance video.
Yeah. They say they have a clear view of James Rackover's car on Sunday night. So remember, it's like Saturday night, they all go out into Sunday morning is like the after party. And then like that afternoon, they've got a clear view from this camera of James's car.
Like a clear view of the car.
And
it's
we see it too.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
In the video, you'll see James come out. You see him load some stuff in the trunk. And then Larry comes down. They're pacing back and forth. this large object. I'm like, that might be, could be. But I wasn't positive because we didn't want to speculate. It's just this might have been something that was used to move Joe.
Off the record, we think that's Joey.
Yeah, in the bag.
In the bag. And they're like, all right, so where's the car? We have to find this car.
Well, luckily we find out that there are license plate readers all over Manhattan.
You are being tracked on every bridge, on every tunnel. You cannot enter or leave Manhattan without being tracked.
Yeah. Unfortunately, once you do leave Manhattan, it becomes a whole other story.
Thanks a lot, Jersey. So they get the plate number, and this was cool to see.
Yeah.
Because they can plot where the car is going, right? Because you're getting, like, you don't realize that everyone, we're on camera all the time.
I know.
You think you're not. You are. I'm sorry to say.
I feel like I should be camera ready more often than I am.
I'm like, hi. So they can track him because, like, on these highways, there's like, they're getting the license plate. It's not just like the entry points of these bridges and tunnels. It's like periodically there.
It's called the FDR. It's like it's the highway on the east side of Manhattan.
It's like a narrow highway. It's like right next to the river.
It's actually kind of scary. Like, I used to take the FDR home every night after my concierge job. It is so close to the river that, like, I feel like the cars could tumble in there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Or if, like, you're going downtown, you're on the lane that's...
I know, but if you're going up, I was going uptown. Yeah. And, like, especially on nights when it was raining, I feel like we are always 1 inch away from a fucking flood on this island.
Let me tell you, we are.
Yeah.
Because the infrastructure is a nightmare. But on the FDR, like, it drizzles for an hour.
I know.
They're like, we got some flooding on the FDR, you guys. It's going to be closed for the foreseeable future.
I know.
And also, the D train isn't working anymore. I don't know. It drizzled for 2 seconds.
On, like, the subway, the weekend on the subway, when it's like, the F train is running on the C line northbound, and the C line is running on the F line southbound. It makes no sense.
No sense. That time when you used to live in the Heights.
Yeah.
And I would have to go take a downtown train to turn around and go uptown.
Yes.
I ended up in the Bronx because train ride, they were just like, we are now going to the Bronx. And I was like, okay, suddenly I'm outside.
I know.
And I'm texting you and I'm like, well, at least I have service to text him that I'm going to be an hour late.
I know.
And then there was another time. This was my favorite one because it's like, this is so fucking typical.
These episodes that happen in New York City must be, I wonder if people are like, oh my God, they're going to talk about the nightmare of living in New York.
But this is annoying. This is like, I'm saying a negative thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's annoying because it was like, due to an issue on the 4 train going downtown, all uptown service is suspended. And I'm like, okay, have to hear how it sounds.
No,
MTA.
I know.
And the MTA is a racket. Anyway, moving on. So it goes all the way down the FDR, and it's like the tip of the island, it goes like back around, right?
Yeah.
So it goes down the
don't
tip
try
of
to
Manhattan.
Explain. They don't care.
All right, and it's going through the Holland Tunnel, and now we're in New Jersey, and now we can't track it anymore because once he gets into New Jersey, the system goes down. Even Detective Castro's like,
the system was down, or they weren't able to locate it anymore. It was deflating once you're like, oh, now where did he go? You know, you're trying to figure that out, and it was definitely a little difficult.
I don't know why.
I know.
The system is down. It wasn't working. We called Jersey. They got nothing.
I know.
And it's like, it's so frustrating.
We were
right there.
We just did the one about that attorney that was killed in her downtown law office where they had the camera pointed at the front door of her, but it was broken. And I understand that not every camera can be working at all times, but we got to do better. Like, this is ridiculous.
And to not even have a reason.
I know.
The way Detective Castro tells it,
he's
just like, it was down or they couldn't get her. I don't know.
Manhattan did its part. Once we got into Jersey, you let us down.
Look, don't come for me, Jersey.
I know.
So, but at least we know we're in New Jersey somehow. Like, it's led us to New Jersey.
Yeah.
So that's something, right?
Yes.
So, like, they realize, okay, this is bad. Like, who the hell is James Rackover? Like, forget the NYPD Google. We're going to do, like, the FBI Google machine.
They literally get the FBI Google. It's wild.
So they're like, did I say NYPD? I think I said NYPD in a weird,
NYPD.
A weird, like, what do they call it? Like, affectation?
Sure.
Sure, whatever.
Totally. What's wrong with you today?
I don't know. I don't feel great.
No,
Maybe that's it.
Okay.
I don't know.
You look like a mil bucks.
Do I?
Totally.
Thanks. Am I growing out my bangs? I'm not sure what I'm doing. I might grow them out.
They look really cute.
Oh, do they?
Your hair looks great today.
Thanks.
It's popping.
Oh, my God. I haven't done anything to my hair. I'm very embarrassed. I look like a...
Really?
Yeah.
No, I think you look great.
I haven't touched it.
No.
Hence the reason why I think my bangs are growing themselves out. Who knows? I did like the middle part the other day.
Are my bangs growing themselves out?
I think they've had it with me and with the whole thing. Anyway.
I'm doing that new thing now where I'm spraying the chemicals out of my head trying to grow some of my hair back.
Okay.
How's it working?
It looks great.
Thanks. The other day I was like, I think it's working. And Steve goes, it's not.
Steve. Can we yes and
I know.
A little support?
I know.
Just say
thank
yes.
Thank you so much.
My goodness. So they use the FBI Google machine, and this is where they find a lot of
Can
shit.
Can you say FBI Goog?
FBI goog.
Okay.
They give it an FBI goog. They find a lot of shit that the NYPD goog did not have.
And Patrick Hines has questions about.
So James Rackover is not his real name.
No.
It's James Beaudoin.
I gotta say, hell of a name. You know what I mean? James Rackover.
Rackover?
It's a hell of a name.
But the minute they said it wasn't his real name, I was like, why Rackover?
Right.
Guess what? We'll find out.
Yeah, we will.
He's from Florida.
Yep.
He has a, quote, substantial arrest record.
Yes.
Robberies, burglaries. Do you know the difference between the two?
Now
a robbery will see you later, and a burglary will. A burglary will see you in a while.
You know what? If that had just been the joke, fam, if you don't know what that's in reference to, during the Aaron Hernandez episodes on the Pates, is like the funniest moment of all time when I asked her if she knows the difference between an alligator.
I fell for it.
Between an alligator and a crocodile. What you just pulled off was masterful. That was fucking masterful.
Thank you. There's a real difference, though. Much like there actually is a real difference between an alligator and a crocodile.
Oh, my God.
A burglary is when you illegally enter, like, a building or a house to commit a crime. And a robbery is, like, stealing something by force or by fear.
Oh, interesting.
So there is an actual difference.
I gotta say, for those of you who've been with us since the alligator crocodile scandal, the payoff that you all just...
Scandal ball.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, the point is...
Do you know why I actually even heard about all of that?
What?
From Joe.
We're doing this again. You have to know when to leave them wanting more. Because now... We've killed it.
Oh, fam, go back and listen to the Aaron Hernandez episodes. I mean, it's worth it.
Oh my
it's
God.
Worth it.
Should we play a clip of it?
Do you know how you can tell the difference between an alligator and a crocodile?
Yes, we've talked about this, but now every time you ask me, I don't know.
It's so easy. An alligator will see you later and a crocodile will see you after a while.
Right, of course. How could I forget? There's a real, like, scientific biology reason. I fall for it every time. Every time.
Do you know who taught me that joke? Joe.
Who's Joe?
Joe Mama.
We know a couple of Joes. It's been a really long week.
It just, like, that joke comes right from the Golden Girls, and it went exactly the way it went on the
show. It was perfect. This is why we do this. The point is, James Rackover is not his real name. His name is James Beaudoin.
Yeah.
And he's from Florida. He has a substantial arrest record, blah, blah, blah. So years earlier in Florida, James was working with a successful jeweler named Jeffrey Rackover. And I'm like, oh, that's where Rackover comes from.
Can I take the rest of this part?
Sure.
Because I got to dance around this
real... Are you going to talk about Oprah and J-Lo?
Well, sure. This guy, Jeffrey Rackover, his clients are like Oprah and Jennifer Lopez. But this guy, Jeffrey the jeweler, he's described as an older man. We see a picture of him. He takes such a liking to this guy, James, who's like the asshole here, who's like the bad guy.
Yeah.
James was given a car, an apartment, expensive clothes, and most importantly, Rackover's name.
He had met Jeffrey Rackover at a gym. You know, they became friendly, and I guess Jeffrey wanted to help him out and gave him his name, you know, so that, you know, changed his life.
And most importantly, he gives him his last name.
And they met at the gym.
And they met... You see where I'm going with this?
Jeffrey gives James his last name to help, to quote, help him out and change his life.
Like, they don't get into this, and I haven't been able to find any information about it. My point is just that, like, I don't know if this is a gay thing. It sounds a little bit like a gay thing to me. Am I crazy?
No, and we don't.
I love that you pointed out
all
that they met at the gym. I can't believe I forgot that part.
They met at the gym. I'm giving you all the facts. Welcome to... We cover recap documentaries and we talk about it.
And, like, whether it's a gay thing or not, like, the guy, like, loved him enough to give him money, cars, apartment, and his last name. And like, I don't know.
And that sort of, like, sent him on his way to New York?
Right.
And is James Rackover in the jewelry business?
I know.
We don't know.
We don't know. But maybe Jeffrey Rackover was in love with him and it wasn't reciprocated. I'm not saying anything. Just as a gay person, this seemed like a gay thing to me. That's all I'm saying.
I guess I'm just curious as to, like, why this guy getting this Rackover name would help him out and change his life so much, and then it's, like, not part of the story at all.
Right, exactly.
Like, it's not like he was trying to, like, hawk jewelry to the women.
Uh-huh.
It's not like, you know what I mean? It's not like, oh, he was super rich and, like, the cops would say, oh, he was, like, dripping in, like, the Rolex and the, like, what is it about?
Yeah.
Like, what part does the name play in his life at all? And what does that mean? And what does the name do if you're, like, are they in touch still?
I know.
Like, is he part of the story? They just kind of drop it in and then we move right along.
Anyway, Rackover is in custody. He's not talking. Larry De Leon is questioned about the video showing him helping Rackover load the car.
Yeah.
And they tell Larry that they're looking for Joey. And they're like, we saw you loading the car. Think of Joey's family. And this is where Larry develops a conscience for 5 seconds.
Kind of.
And he's like,
listen, I'll let you know where he is, but I'm not going to tell you anything as to what happened to him. And he gave us the location in Oceanport, New Jersey, by his parents' home. And he gave the address, and we headed out to New Jersey immediately.
He's, like, letting the cops believe that they're going to find Joey alive but injured, like, in the woods, like, in Ocean Point, New Jersey. These men are so stupid.
They're so stupid. So they go, right? The cops are there. They're out in the woods. They have the big searchlights and flashlights and the dogs. And they find Joey, and he's not injured. Joey has been killed.
They find him buried in a shallow grave. And I will say, this is where all of the detectives, Detective Chen, Detective Castro, they really tell the story about, like, finding Joey. These detectives really did care about
the
family.
They did.
And they say that, like, we went right from the site in New Jersey to the dad's house in Connecticut.
Yeah.
And, like, all the while, it's 5 a.m. They're going to have to wake up the dad and tell the dad that they found his son murdered.
Yeah.
And Detective Castro describes the scene of, like, knocking on the door. And he's like, he says this thing. He says, you can hear a scream in a haunted house. We all know what it's like when you hear somebody get scared in a haunted house. But when you tell someone that their loved one is dead, there's a scream that comes from the bottom of their stomach that will never leave you.
Yeah.
Never, ever.
Yeah. And Pat, the dad, says, like through tears in his eyes, this, like, broke me too. When, you know, you hear the car pull up in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, I was up, so.
Yeah.
And I'm like, he's just up all night. Like, of course he's up all night. Of course he's up all night. So the cops come and write that sound that, like, never leaves you. And then, like, the friends come over. They're still all up. It's only been a few days, right? So everyone is sort of waiting.
I mean, this is Wednesday.
Yeah.
It's Wednesday. He went missing on Saturday night.
Yeah, like early Sunday morning.
Yeah.
So the friends are all there, and they say that they're in agony, like, they all, at the very least, they have each other.
Yeah.
They're mourning together. They're grieving together. And they're like, okay, but we still need to know what happened to our friend and our son.
Yeah. So Detective Rashida is back, and she's like, the one good thing here is that with the body will come an autopsy, and it will give us some answers. Because they're like, we need to know how the person died. They need to know if they can collect any DNA off the body. And she says the autopsy is the horror show.
He was stabbed 14 times. He has contusions to his head. He has a knife wound to his arm, like they tried to dismember him at some point. And it shows the desperation that they had because they were trying to get rid of this body.
And we also learned that there were broken bones in the body. And they say this was because they had put Joey in a bag and thrown the bag out of the fourth floor window before putting it in the cart and rolling it over to the car.
And that's why no one saw him leave the building.
Right.
And I'm like, how evil do you have to be?
I know.
How much, like, disregard for human life? And, like, well, I was going to save this for later, but I'll mention it now. This is, like, stranger on stranger crime.
Uh-huh.
They just met.
Yes.
So to have that kind of contempt and just, like, cruelty.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like I'm comparing it, but with a crime of passion, it's like, you know, I didn't get the inheritance, or I'm jealous, or I'm this. It's like, you met hours ago.
Right.
And, like, my point is that James Rackover, whatever his real name, if that's your real name, guess what? It's not. But it's so evil that he doesn't have any regard for anything at all, that he can treat
a
human like this.
Let's put him in a bag and throw him out the window.
How evil are you?
I know.
My God.
I know.
So the detectives are like, look, we know we have all the right players, but we need to put this together. So let's go.
Yeah.
So James is in custody over the suspended license.
Yeah.
But he's not saying a word to police.
He's literally not saying a word.
So they're like, all right, let's go to Larry. He told us where to find Joey. Like, maybe we can talk some more. So the thing about Larry is that he did tell police where Joey's body was, but he lied about seeing Joey leave the building. He's caught on camera with James Rackover loading this large object into James's car. So Larry was caught in lie after lie after lie. The evidence against him is mounting. So they're like, Larry, you got to level with us because you're going down for this.
Yeah.
So James, we know James was there, like, this is a major lie, but, like, help us help you.
Yes.
Tell us the truth and then maybe we can work with you here.
Larry tells them they were all drinking and doing drugs.
And remember, Max is asleep on the couch.
Bad Max is asleep on the couch, like, oh my God. And they say,
according to Larry, the after party had devolved into three drunk young men arguing over who had provided what goodies to the party. A fight broke out.
Larry said, "So I punched Joey. Might light him out. He was out cold." And then he said that, you know, Rackover just flipped and lost it.
It was like 8 a.m. and they were fighting over, like, people right. just needed to, like, go home and have some water.
And Larry says he punches Joey in the face and completely knocks him out.
And this is when James Rackover flips out.
Yeah.
Larry's like, he lost it. And this is where, now Joey is unconscious, which if you are looking for a silver lining, this might be one, that
yes.
he is knocked unconscious when the violence happens to him.
According to Larry, do we believe
according
this?
According to Larry. You know? I don't, that's right. According to Larry.
Yeah.
According to Larry, James stabbed Joey over and over again while Joey was unconscious. Conscious because, like, in his, like, coke rage,
yeah.
he couldn't believe that this was happening, and this, like, this was the best idea he could come up with.
And then Bad Max, who'd been asleep on the couch the whole time, is woken up by, like, the sounds of the violence, and Larry tells him to get dressed and get out of there. And one of the talking heads is like, and thank God he did, because, like, James, who owns the apartment, who just killed Joey for nothing,
right.
didn't know Max, the guy who was asleep on the couch.
Yeah.
And as soon as Max leaves, he's like, can we trust that guy? But it's, like, too late to, like, chase him down the hallway and kill him.
Right. And also, Max then kept lying to everybody.
Right.
About what he saw. I woke up and everyone was gone. No, no, no.
Yeah.
So then, you know, Larry and James take Joey's body to New Jersey. They dispose of the body. And, like, this is what I mean. Like, Joey really was at the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yes.
Like, this,
it's random.
Mean,
it was a total, terrible act of violence.
Yeah. And so James and Larry are both charged with second degree murder.
Yeah.
And Max, not the friend Max, was arrested and charged with hindering a prosecution because he lied.
Because he said he didn't see the body. And they're like, you definitely
you
saw the body.
Absolutely did.
Yeah.
So now it's 2 years after Joey's murder and James Rackover's trial starts. Now, Larry's statement, they don't explain why.
Right.
But Larry's statement detailing the murder is not admissible.
The more I think about it, the more I'm like, well, why are we just going to believe this guy? He puts all of the
Fine.
Everything on James. He's like, I just watched him stab the guy. I didn't do anything.
Yeah, and everyone was so drunk, but you remember all these details.
Yeah.
Like, oh, fine.
Yeah,
fine, fine, fine.
Yeah.
They just don't say it. Tell me that.
Right, exactly.
So the
I've been to law school.
Of course. So the prosecutors basically have to start from scratch, right? And, like, they do have pretty great physical evidence. But pull over, everyone.
I
we
know.
Have a surprise witness.
The 11th hour witness.
Yeah. So it's Louis Ruggiero, and they just call him son of a New York City newscaster.
I know.
They don't say who it is.
Yeah.
It's Rosanna Scotto's son.
What was the episode we talked about Rosanna Scotto in?
No, I don't remember.
There was a whole episode where Rosanna Scotto was a talking head, and we're like, she's like a New York City newscaster.
Yeah, legend.
Yeah.
But anyway, I don't know why they say New York City newscaster, but
because
not Rosanna Scotto.
We're the only people who would know. Like, I mean, everybody in every city has, like, the local newscasters whose names they know, but no one knows Rosanna
Scotto.
They're
talking about the details of the FDR drive.
I know.
But they're not going to say Rosanna Scotto's name.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
So anyway, Lewis says, look, I ran into James Rackover at the gym.
The day after the murder.
And James confesses everything in the middle of Planet Fitness or whatever.
Like, what is that?
James Rackover, he says that I got to tell you something. And basically says, you know, he killed a guy. He just murdered a guy. Ruggiero thought that, you know, James was just trying to impress him. At that point, Ruggiero, you know, leaves, and he's walking by the building, and he sees, you know, all the crime scene. And he says, oh, he's telling the truth.
As he's leaving the gym, he walks by the crime scene at the apartment, and he's like, holy shit, this guy's telling me the truth.
Yeah.
In the middle of the gym.
Exactly.
And the cops are like, great, but is this enough?
Oh. And then they also get some tape of Rackover, like, bragging about the murder on, like, from prison or,
like,
something?
Or someone was trying to, I guess, catch him in a lie. Like, I don't know who this person is or why we have the audio, but we have it and we hear it.
Yeah.
And it's James bragging about how his street cred is about to go through the roof because now he's a murderer and he's going to beat the charge, and isn't that the coolest thing you've ever heard? And I'm like, this guy is the biggest fucking loser.
He's a
murderer, and I'm not diminishing that, but he's also a fucking loser.
He's just a loser idiot. We have 5 minutes of, is it going to be enough? Is it not? Guess what it is? November 2nd, 2018, James Rackover is found guilty of second degree murder. He gets 28 to life. 2 months later, Larry DeLeon pleads guilty to manslaughter. I mean, I guess he saw the writing on the wall.
Yeah, 23 you know, years.
Gets through the, and Max Gemma, the one who was asleep on the couch and lied about seeing the body,
Yeah. He
gets 6 months for hindering the prosecution.
Yeah. And now we end on Joey's dad. Like, we end on Joey's friends and family. And Pat, Joey's dad, says something really kind of like, oh, shit.
Am I satisfied? They have to live with themselves. Their parents have to live with themselves.
Did you kill Joseph?
And you know what? So there's some satisfaction knowing that they're probably just as miserable as I am. That they've got to live with themselves. That's all I can say.
So you know what? Yeah, there's some satisfaction knowing that there are parents out there as miserable as I am, knowing that you don't have your son anymore.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy shit.
Was Joey an only child? They don't say one way or the other.
They don't say, but I
assume
it
is.
I'm assuming it.
Yeah.
But like, and all the friends are saying, like, it's sad. Like, I'm glad these guys are convicted or whatever, but it's sad that, like, they'll never know 100% of what happened.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, we just don't know what happened in there, and no one is talking.
Yeah.
And it could be that they don't remember. They were all so fucked up. It's possible.
And like, what are the odds, right? Like, there are millions of people in the city. Like, Pat, the dad, says this. Like,
all the thousands of people that were let out of the bars at 4 a.m.
and all the things that had to happen, the phone, the women, the drugs, he goes, you'd have a better chance of hitting the lottery.
Yeah.
Like, it just doesn't make any sense. And that's so hard to like come to terms with.
And friend Steven, who was there, says the same thing. He's like, of all the people we could have bumped into leaving the club that night, like, what?
And like, these shitty decisions by James and Larry and Max, like, it's now affecting all of these people every single day for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
Like, these guys are the worst.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Oh my God, girl, we did New York Homicide.
Yeah, the first episode, it's the murder of Joey Comunale.
Oh my God. Fam, join us over on the Patreon. I gave the whole spiel at the top. There's so much to do over there.
So much
live events,
on
all the bonus episodes.
Yeah, jokes apparently. Jokes. Alligators and crocodiles. And
join the Facebook group as well. I've been doing watch parties every Sunday night for the Patreon episode we have coming up that week. I'm doing that until I don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah, we're we just did Love Has Won. We're doing Natalia Grace.
Yeah.
We did The 12th Victim before that. We did Love Fraud. Remember Love Fraud?
Oh my, I mean, there's literally hundreds of series that we've covered over on the Patreon.
Yeah.
Like,
plus ad-free
episodes
versions
by episode.
Yeah, and plus ad-free versions of these episodes.
Yeah. And also at the $7 after party tier, we're telling each other cases that haven't yet made it to, we haven't had documentaries about.
Yeah.
So like, we're telling like really interesting, sad, crazy cases there as well.
Yeah, I just did like the story of the Killers of the Flower Moon, the Osage murders.
Crazy.
Isn't that insane?
Girl, what are we doing next?
All right, we are doing, are you ready for this? Everyone pull over.
What is it?
We are doing They Called Him Mostly Harmless on Max.
Oh, shit. Okay. I've actually seen this. This is one of the ones I've actually seen before. I'm going to like sit down and take my notes on it.
Yeah, well, I got notes. I have thoughts. I got notes.
I know. I texted you when I was watching it. I'm like, I'm going to call it They Called Him Mostly Famous.
It's
like,
Penny
not
Wayne.
On purpose.
Yeah.
I know.
Almost famous. He's a Band-Aid.
They call him Almost Famous.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that sounds good. So stay tuned for the trailer for They Called Him Mostly Harmless and our funny and hilarious outtakes. And we love you.
Yeah, we love you so much. We will see you. So same time, same place, whenever. We're right here.
I was going to say, if not sooner. Whenever or if not sooner.
Yeah. You know what? It's all up to you, dear listener, when you press play. So we'll see you.
We got that right whole then. Back catalog out there. We'll see you back in the future and in the present.
We can't. Oh, I love this time machine we have. It's very sparkly. I love it.
Bye.
Bye.
We're using the internet to do something good.
It moved fast. You know, people were throwing out ideas.
He was seen in Georgia. He was seen in North Carolina.
Small bits of personal information that he would reveal.
I was shocked. Holy shit. Like, look at this. This is the guy I camped with.
If you don't mind, can I take a picture? Smiled and clicked his picture.
The hikers were the only people we knew that actually had talked to this person.
He was definitely trying to stay anonymous.
What's his name? Somebody had to get his name.
He said, well, I'm mostly harmless.
If you're mostly harmless, you're also partly harmful.
He seems sincere, like he understood.
People want to project who they want someone to be. It was a gut punch.
I guess there was a dark side I didn't know about.
He was a bad, bad man.
Can I just say one thing?
Yeah, yeah.
I made a joke and I just want to tell it because I think it's funny.
You wrote down a joke?
I wrote down a joke because they say it's 4 a.m. and the bar's closed and Joey and his friends went into the night. And I went, technically, they went into the morning. Technically, they went right into the middle of my work day.
Hey, I don't know if you're a new listener, but Patrick wakes up super early in the morning.
And I love
and
to talk about it.
Everyone needs to know about it. Like, did 4 a.m. really happen if you weren't awake
for it? If I
was
awake,
who
absolutely
knows?
Do even know.
Probably not.
I was like, going out into the night, no.
No.
Uh-uh.
Going out to face the day.
I'm on my third cup of coffee.
Oh, my God.
Sorry.
Sorry, everybody.
I'm apologizing to you. We're apologizing
to
them.
I'm apologizing on your behalf.
Thank you so much. Anyway...